Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday in our study of Titus chapter 2, we were talking about the adorning of a bride for her wedding. Let's continue with that today.
Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
No, a young man goes out and asks a girl, will she marry him? She says, yeah, well, they talk about it. You know, guys usually talk about it, make sure she's going to say yes before they ever buy the ring. But then they go out and buy a nice, expensive ring. Buy that engagement ring. Then go through the same thing they've been talking about. Says, will you marry me? Yes. And he places it on her finger. Oh, what a wonderful thing, you know, but nonetheless. He puts that on her finger, and they're engaged. Now, she is proud of that ring. And that commitment says, okay, I wanted to marry her. Regardless, I wanted to marry her, whether there's rings involved or not. When I first started doing weddings, there was the question of, is this a single or double ring wedding? What do you mean a double ring wedding, people say today? Well, is both the man and the woman given a ring to each other, or is it just the man given to the woman? Because I remember years ago, it was just the man. Because a lot of times women didn't have the jobs, couldn't afford it, and what they did earn, they were saving up for getting married. Not the ring. They were saving up for the marriage, the paper of marriage, to help them get started in life. So, again, that bride of Christ, though, is just plain without the makeup. Can you imagine a very wealthy man? I mean, he's a multi-wealthy, okay? He falls in love with this plain, common-looking girl from the lower ends of the economic ladder. But he falls in love with her, and he loves her, and he wants to get married. But he, because of his well-to-do-ness, you might say, he has to go away for a while. But he will come back on the day of the wedding. The day appointed, he's going to come. He's going to come back. He sends money for the bride and for her bridesmaids and all the wedding, everything. He sends the money in abundance that would buy the bride's beautiful gown, the most beautiful gown that the wealthy can afford, the bridesmaids and what they wear. And he's then just ready, happy, of the bridesmaids coming down, and the bride would be coming down in the angelic beauty, and the groom would be down there waiting the bride to come down that aisle as he is standing there in his tuxedo at best. So the groom waits for the bride's entrance. The day has come. He sent her that money. They got all ready. Day comes. This bridesmaids come down. Oh, they look so nice. But then they play, here comes the bride, and he turns. And she comes. She has an old, ragged dress she's worn for years. She doesn't have makeup. Her hair is disheveled. And it even seems like she may not have even bathed for a few days. She gets down by him. He says, Why? Why don't you have the bridal grail down? Why did you not go to the beauty shop? I sent you more than enough. I sent you more money than any bride would normally get. It would cover everything. Why? And she answers, well, I know you love me so much, so I thought you wouldn't care how I looked. I know you love me. And so that would not make a difference. Well, will he be proud of her? No. Well, so too are the riches of God by which we can follow and adorn the gospel of Christ in our spirit with spiritual cosmetics of righteousness and true holiness. Sadly, too many will be entering. They'll be in heaven, but without the adorning. They're saved so as by fire, counting the loss, ashamed at his appearing. And you see, there are people today who says, well, hey, look, I got saved, I know I'm saved, and really, that's all important. You know, if God really loves me, he will this, he will that. You don't set the standard for God. You don't set the moral standard. You don't set the ethical standard. You don't set the standard. God sets the standard. And here's the thing. For what he expects of you, he has given and preserved the word of God that not one dot or tittle of it's lost. In addition to that, he's given you his very Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us the Holy Spirit is the earnest. You know what the earnest is? That's the money that's the down payment. That's the money that says to hold this. This is the money that says, okay, when everything is due, I will pay it in full or I'll lose the earnest money. Okay? When we got saved, the blood of Christ was already there, but he gave us his Holy Spirit as an earnest. Now, folks, that's why I know I'm saved. Once you're saved, you're always saved. But it's because he will not lose his Holy Spirit. And so, you are accepted, as Ephesians chapter 1 tells us, verse 6 and 7, you are accepted in the Beloved. But there are going to be tears. There are going to be those that are ashamed at his appearing. And you had all the tools to have all the cosmetics that the bride of Christ should well have. And you put them aside for worldly pleasure. And often that pleasure is like that gal. Filthy, unkempt, and ashamed to the husbandman, the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't feel like you are owed something. Jesus Christ shed his blood, but he didn't even have to come if he didn't want to. He could have called a legion of angels to do away with those Roman soldiers and stop the crucifixion. He even prayed, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. In other words, he was saying, Lord, I'm going to have your outpoured wrath on my human spirit. You've been my Father from eternity past, and will be through eternity future. But when I became a human, you gave me a human spirit, and now what I know I'm facing is not the men of Rome with their spears and their spitting and their whips and their crucifying and their hanging them on a cross and driving nails through his hands. No, the worst will be when God pours out his wrath on the human spirit when he sees my sin and your sin on Jesus Christ. And as he pours out that wrath upon him, he's pouring out his wrath on our sin. But all of that, the Bible told us that the life is in the blood in Leviticus. And so the blood passed out to cover the sin. I'm of the opinion, and this may be heard near Easter, and I don't care if preachers use it. I think it's good to use it. We remember in 1 Samuel chapter 17 that David slew Goliath and cut off his head. He gave the armor and all that nice stuff to Saul, but he took the head himself and took it back to Jerusalem. Do you realize that David lived in Bethlehem? He didn't live in Jerusalem at the time, but he took it back to Jerusalem. What did he do with it? I mean, it was a skull. What did he do with the skull of Goliath? Well, see, Goliath was a picture of sin trying to defeat the people of God. That day, in a human body, a boy, perhaps 17 years old, killed and beheaded that giant of sin. I believe that when he got back to Jerusalem, I think he buried it on that hill. Probably wasn't called Golgotha at the time, but I believe that he buried it on that hill, that mountain. And that's why I think that mountain assumed the shape of a skull. Now, I'm giving you my opinion. I'll know for sure, you'll know for sure in heaven, but this is my opinion. Jesus Christ would be sacrificed on the cross on that mountain. The Son of David, who slew sin, the picture of sin, back in that day, in that valley of Elah, will now, on the cross, come down with his heel and crush the head of Satan, that old serpent, the devil. It'll bruise his heel because it takes a hard thing. But you know what? The Father poured out his wrath on his Son, even though it was his only begotten. He poured out his fullness of wrath. Why? Well, Isaiah 53 tells us that it pleased the Lord to bruise him, because when he saw your sin and my sin on him, it did not change his holiness, and it did not change his opinion and his hatred of sin. And his Son paid it all, because God so loved the world that he provided a way for us to get saved. You see why men and women are without excuse.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet on his